Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Today we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. And the first verse of the 16th chapter is three verses together. This chapter is called The Divine and Demoniac Natures. It's on page 655. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Abhayam Satvasham Shudhir Jnana Yoga Vyavastitihi. Please repeat. Uvacha Abhayam Satvasham Shudhir Jnana Yoga Vyavastitihi. Danam damascha yagyascha swadhyayas tapa arjavam. Ahimsa satyama krodhas tyaga shantir upaishunam. Daya bhuteshvalo lutvam mardavam rir achapalam. Teja shamadriti shaucham adroho nati manita.
Teja shamadriti shaucham adroho nati manita.
Bhavanti sampadam daivim abhijatasya bharata.
Bhavanti sampadam daivim abhijatasya bharata.
Page 656. The translation is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion of honor. These transcendental qualities of Sanabharata belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out of it were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 9th chapter also, the devas, or godly, and the asuras, the ungodly, or demons, were explained. Now, according to Vedic rites, activities in the mode of goodness are considered auspicious for progress on the path of liberation, and such activities are known as Daivi Prakriti, transcendental by nature. Those who are situated in the transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation. For those who are acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material world as human beings, or they will descend among the species of animals or even lower life forms. In this 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities and the demoniac nature and its qualities. He also explains the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. The word abhijatasya, in reference to one born of transcendental qualities or godly tendencies, is very significant. To beget a child in a godly atmosphere is known in the Vedic scriptures as garbhadhana samskara. If the parents want a child in the godly qualities, they should follow the 10 principles recommended for the social life of the human being. The Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, we have studied also before that sex life for begetting a good child is Krishna himself. Sex life is not condemned, provided the process is used in Krishna consciousness. Those who are in Krishna consciousness at least should not beget children like cats and dogs, but should beget them so that they may become Krishna conscious after birth. That should be the advantage of children born of a father and mother absorbed in Krishna consciousness. The social institution known as Varnashram Dharma, the institution dividing society into 4 divisions of social life and 4 occupational divisions or castes, is not meant to divide human society according to birth. Such divisions are in terms of educational qualifications. They are to keep the society in a state of peace and prosperity. The qualities mentioned herein are explained as transcendental qualities meant for making a person progress in spiritual understanding so that he can get liberated from the material world. In the Varnashram institution, the sannyasi, or the person in the renounced order of life, is considered to be the head or the spiritual master of all the social statuses and orders. A Brahman is considered to be the spiritual master of the 3 other sections of a society, namely the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, but a sannyasi who is on the top of the institution is considered to be the spiritual master of the Brahmanas also. For a sannyasi, the first qualification should be fearlessness. Because a sannyasi has to be alone without any support or guarantee of support, he has simply to depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one thinks, after I leave my connections, who will protect me? He should not accept the renounced order of life. One must be fully convinced that Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his localized aspect, as Paramatma, is always within, that he is seeing everything, and he always knows that what one intends to do. One must thus have firm conviction that Krishna, as Paramatma, will take care of a soul surrendered to him. I shall never be alone, one should think. Even if I live in the darkest regions of a forest, I shall be accompanied by Krishna, and he will give me all protection. That conviction is called abhayam, fearlessness. This state of mind is necessary for a person in the renounced order of life. Then he has to purify his existence. There are so many rules and regulations to be followed in the renounced order of life. Most important of all, a sannyasi is strictly forbidden to have any intimate relationship with a woman. He is even forbidden to talk with a woman in a secluded place. Lord Chaitanya was an ideal sannyasi, and when he was at Puri, his feminine devotees could not even come near to offer their respects. They were advised to bow down from a distant place. This is not a sign of hatred for women as a class, but it is a stricture imposed on the sannyasi not to have close connections with women. One has to follow the rules and regulations of a particular status of life in order to purify his existence. For in sannyasi, intimate relations with women and possession of wealth for sense gratification are strictly forbidden. The ideal sannyasi was Lord Chaitanya himself, and we can learn from his life that he was very strict in regards to women. Although he is considered to be the most liberal incarnation of Godhead, accepting the most fallen conditioned souls, He strictly followed the rules and regulations of the sannyas order of life in connection with association with women. One of his personal associates, namely Chota Haridas, was associated with Lord Chaitanya. was associated with Lord Chaitanya along with his other confidential personal associates. But somehow or other, this Chota Haridas looked lustily on a young woman, and Lord Chaitanya was so strict that he at once rejected him from the society of his personal associates. Lord Chaitanya said, "For a sannyasi, or anyone who is aspiring to get out of the clutches of material nature and trying to elevate himself to the spiritual nature and go back home, back to Godhead, for him, looking toward material possessions and women for sense gratification, not even enjoying them, but just looking toward them with such a propensity, is so condemned that he had better commit suicide before experiencing such illicit desires. So these are the processes for purification." The next item is Jnana Yoga Vyavastiti, being engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. Sannyasi life is meant for distributing knowledge to the householders and others who have forgotten their real life of spiritual advancement. A sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door for his livelihood, but this does not mean that he is a beggar. Humility is also one of the qualifications of a transcendentally situated person, and out of sheer humility the sannyasi goes from door to door, not exactly for the purpose of begging, but to see the householders and awaken them to Krishna consciousness. This is the duty of a sannyasi. If he is actually advanced and so ordered by his spiritual master, he should preach Krishna consciousness with logic and understanding. And if one is not so advanced, he should not accept the renounced order of life. But even if one has accepted the renounced order of life without sufficient knowledge, he should engage himself fully in hearing from a bona fide spiritual master to cultivate knowledge. A sannyasi or one in the renounced order of life must be situated in fearlessness, sattva-samshuddhi, purity, and jnana-yoga, knowledge. The next item is charity. Charity is meant for the householders. The householders should earn a livelihood by an honorable means and spend 50% of their income to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. Thus, a householder should give in charity to institutional societies that are engaged in that way. Charity should be given to the right receiver. There are different kinds of charity, as will be explained later on. Charity in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Charity in the mode of goodness is recommended by the scriptures, but charity in the mode of passion and ignorance is not recommended because it is simply a waste of money. Charity should be given only to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. That is charity in the mode of goodness. Then as far as dhamma, self-control, is concerned, it is not only meant for other orders of religious society, but is especially meant for the householder. Although he has a wife, a householder should use his senses, although he has a wife, a householder should not use his senses for sex life unnecessarily. There are restrictions for the householders, even in sex life, which should only be engaged in for the propagation of children. If he does not require children, he should not enjoy sex with his wife. Modern society enjoys sex life with contraceptive methods or more abominable methods to avoid the responsibility of children. This is not in the transcendental quality, but is demoniac. If anyone, even if he is a householder, wants to make progress in spiritual life, he must control his sex life and should not beget a child without the purpose of serving Krishna. If he is able to beget children who will be in Krishna consciousness, one can produce hundreds of children, but without this capacity, one should not indulge only for sense pleasure. Sacrifice is another item to be performed by the householders, because sacrifices require a large amount of money. Those in other orders of life, namely brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, have no money. They live by begging. So performance of different types of sacrifice is meant for the householders. They should perform agnihotra, sacrifices as enjoined in the Vedic literature, but such sacrifices at the present moment are very expensive, and it is not possible for any householder to perform them. The best sacrifice recommended in this age is called Sankirtan Yajna. This Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best and most inexpensive sacrifice. Everyone can adopt it and derive benefit. So these three items, namely charity, sense control, and performance of sacrifice, are meant for the householder. Then swadhyaya, Vedic study, is meant for the brahmacharya. or student life. Brahmacharis should have no connection with women. They should live a life of celibacy and engage the mind in the study of Vedic literature for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This is called swadhyaya. Tapas, or austerity, is especially meant for the retired life. One should not remain a householder throughout his whole life. He must always remember that there are four divisions of life: brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So after grihastha, householder life, one should retire. If one lives for 100 years, he should spend 25 years in student life, 25 years in household life, 25 in retired life, and 25 in the renounced order of life. These are the regulations of the Vedic discipline. A man retired from household life must practice austerities of the body, mind, and tongue. That is tapasya. The entire Varnashram Tarb society is meant for tapasya. Without tapasya, or austerity, no human being can get liberation. The theory that there is no need of austerity in life, that one can go on speculating and everything will be nice, is recommended neither in the Vedic literature nor in the Bhagavad Gita. Such theories are manufactured by show bottle spiritualists who are trying to gather more followers. If there are restrictions, rules, and regulations, people will not become attracted. Therefore, those who want followers in the name of religion, just to have a show only, don't restrict the lives of their students nor their own lives. But that method is not approved by the Vedas. As far as the brahminical quality of simplicity is concerned, not only should a particular order of life follow this principle, but every member, be he in the brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, or sannyas ashram, one should be very simple and straightforward. Ahimsa means not arresting the progressive life of any living entity. One should not think that since the spirit spark is never killed, even after the killing of the body, there's no harm in killing animals for sense gratification. People are now addicted to eating animals in spite of having an ample supply of grains, fruits, and milk. There's no necessity for animal killing. This injunction is for everyone. When there is no alternative, one may kill an animal, but it should be offered in sacrifice. At any rate, when there is an ample food supply for humanity, persons who are desiring to make advancement in spiritual realization should not commit violence to animals. Real ahimsa means not checking anyone's spiritual life. The animals are also making progress in their evolutionary life by transmigrating from one category of animal life to another. If a particular animal is killed, then his progress is checked. If an animal is staying in a particular body for so many days or so many years and is untimely killed, then he has to come back again in that form of life to complete the remaining days in order to be promoted to another species of life. So their progress should not be checked simply to satisfy one's palate. This is called ahimsa. Satyam. This word means that one should not distort the truth for some personal interest. In Vedic literature, there are some difficult passages, but the meaning or the purpose should be learned from a bona fide spiritual master. That is the process for understanding the Vedas. Shruti means that one should hear from the authority. One should not construe some interpretation for his personal interest. There are so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita that misinterpret the original text. The real import of the word should be presented, and that should be learned from a bona fide spiritual master. Akrodha means to check anger. Even if there is provocation, one should be tolerant. For once one becomes angry, his whole body becomes polluted. Anger is a product of the mode of passion and lust, so one who is transcendentally situated should check himself from anger. Apaishana means that one should not find fault with others or correct them unnecessarily. Of course, to call a thief is not fault-finding, but to call an honest person a thief is very much offensive for one who is making advancement in spiritual life. Hri means that one should be very modest and must not perform some act which is abominable. Achapalam, determination, means that one should not be agitated or frustrated in some attempt. There may be failure in some attempts, but one should not be sorry for that. He should make progress with patience and determination. The word tejas used here is meant for the kshatriyas. The kshatriyas should always be very strong to be able to give protection to the weak. They should not pose themselves as nonviolent. If violence is required, they must exhibit it. But a person who is able to curb down his enemies may, under certain conditions, show forgiveness. He may excuse minor offenses. Shaucham means cleanliness, not only in mind and body, but in one's dealings also. It is especially meant for the mercantile people who should not deal in the black market. Nati manita, not expecting honor, applies to the Shudras, the worker class, who are considered, according to the Vedic injunctions, to be the lowest of the four classes. They should not be puffed up with unnecessary prestige or honor and should remain in their own status. It is the duty of the Shudras to offer respect to the higher class for the upkeep of the social order. All these 26 qualifications mentioned are transcendental qualities. They should be cultivated according to the different statuses of social and occupational order. Their purport is that even though material conditions are miserable, if these qualities are developed by practice by all classes of men, then gradually it is possible to rise to the highest platform of transcendental realization. Text number 4. Dambo darpo bimanascha krodha parusham evacha agyan. Go ahead.
Dambo darpo bimanascha krodha parusham evacha
agyanam jabijatasya partha sampadam asurim
agyanam jabijatasya partha sampadam asurim.
Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. Purport. In this verse, the royal road to hell is described. The demoniac want to make a show of religion and advancement in spiritual science, although they do not follow the principles. They are always arrogant or proud in possessing some type of education or so much wealth. They desire to be worshipped by others and demand respectability, although they do not command respect. Over trifles, they become very angry and speak harshly, not gently. They do not know what should be done and what should not to be done. They do everything whimsically according to their own desire, and they do not recognize any authority. These demoniac qualities are taken on by them from the beginning of their bodies in the wombs of their mothers, and as they grow, they manifest these inauspicious qualities. Text 5. Daivi sampad vimokshaya nibadna yasuri mata.
Daivi sampad vimokshaya nibadna yasuri mata.
Mas shucha sampadam daivim abijato sipandava.
Mas shucha sampadam daivim abijato sipandava.
Translation: the transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with the divine qualities. Purport. Lord Krishna encouraged Arjuna by telling him that he was not born with demoniac qualities. His involvement in the fight was not demoniac, because he was considering the pros and cons. He was considering whether respectable persons such as Bhishma and Drona should be killed or not, so he was not acting under the influence of anger, false prestige, or harshness. Therefore, he was not of the quality of the demons. For a kshatriya, a military man, shooting arrows at the enemy is considered transcendental, and refraining from such a duty is demoniac. Therefore, there was no cause for Arjuna to lament. Anyone who performs the regulative principles of the different orders of life is transcendentally situated. Text 6. Dvau bhuta sargo loke smin.
Dvau bhuta sargo loke smin.
Daiva asura evacha.
Daiva asura evacha.
Daivo vistarasha prokta.
Daivo vistarasha prokta.
Asuram partameshinu.
Asuram partameshinu.
O son of Pritha, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now hear from me about the demoniac. Purport. Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with the divine qualities, is now describing the demoniac way. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world. Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life, That is to say, they abide by the injunctions of scriptures and by the authorities. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scripture. This mentality is called divine. One who does not follow the regulative principles as they are laid down in the scriptures and who acts according to his whims is called demoniac or asuric. There is no other criterion but obedience to the regulative principles of scriptures. It is mentioned in the Vedic literature that both the demigods and the demons are born of the Prajapati. The only difference is that one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the other does not. Hare Krishna. So in this chapter, Krishna is giving the definition of the divine and demoniac qualities. And in the end of the chapter, he says that one should understand proper duty by following the Shastra. And everyone born in this world comes into under the influence of ignorance. The conditioned soul has to be educated from the very beginning of life in order to function in the world. And in order to fulfill the purpose of life, one also has to be educated and cultivate divine knowledge. And from whatever position of life one is in, there is a process and a system by which one can gradually elevate oneself and develop the divine qualities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, is explained in the fifth canto, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvargunas Tatra Samasite Sura Harava Bhakta Sekuto Mahatguna Manoritinasati Davato Bahi. That the natural good qualities are there within the soul. But when those are covered over by the modes of material nature, they're not apparent. But through the process of bhakti, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana, sarvar gunas tatra samasite sura, when one performs devotional service, then those good qualities naturally develop, all the good qualities that demigods develop. However, harava bhakta sukuto mahat gunad manoritenasati dhavato bihi, if one doesn't perform devotional service, even if one appears to have some kind of quality that is admirable, that is considered to be a temporary thing. Manoratenasati, it's a metaphor being given, manorat. A rat means like a cart, and mano means the mind. So it's the person is running on the cart of the mind, it's going around, and that good quality is only temporary. It's not something stable or fully manifested. So, especially the cultivation of devotional service, Prabhupada has recommended here in the sacrifice, he said the best sacrifice in the age of Kali is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And by that, naturally, one's good qualities begin to manifest. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karai Udoi. The nature of the living entity is that he is eternal spiritual soul, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, and that he has Krishna Prema within his heart. It's a nature. But it's covered. How to uncover? By hearing. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kara Udoi. Shravanadi means Shravana, and Adi means and the other processes. So by Shravana, by hearing about Krishna, the sound vibration enters within the ear, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte, and it purifies the consciousness. Then one becomes clarified. The modes of material nature begin to dissipate. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayas chaye. Cheta iter anavidam stitan satve prasidati. Sudha Goswami tells the sages at the outset, when he begins to tell them about the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when one performs hearing and chanting of Krishna, about Krishna, then the lower modes of material nature, rajas and tamas, dissipate. And at the time that they dissipate, tada, at that time, tada rajas tamo bhava, kama loba dayasche, then lust, anger, and these lower qualities will become diminished. Kama loba dayasche, cheta iter anavidham. And then one's consciousness becomes clarified. Stitam satve prasidati. The person becomes solidly situated in the sattva-gum and becomes happy. Stitam satve prasidati. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. And then the person in a joyful state of mind also, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam comes to know the science of Krishna consciousness in a realized way. Comes to realize the science of Krishna consciousness, actually. So, the human life is especially meant for acquiring this daivi sampat, or the divine qualities. And in the Kali Yuga, it's especially the divine qualities are harder to find. As Prabhupada's mentioning the Varnashram system and everyone doing their duty, it's very difficult to find that anywhere. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought an expedient process that everyone should add to their lives in order to make advancement in devotional service, which is the direct process of hearing chanting about Krishna to be elevated to a higher position. Discussion means a reflection or a question if you have. How is everybody today? Good? Shraddha? Good? Okay. Okay? Happy?
I have one question regarding this statement. This is, I'll read this sentence.
For page?
This is page 658 and the first paragraph, the last sentence.
Okay.
This talks about for a sannyasi or anyone who is aspiring to get out of the clutches of the Maya, clutches of material nature. It says that looking 6658 for a sannyasi or anyone who is aspiring to get out of the clutches of material nature and trying to elevate himself to the spiritual nature and go back home, back to Godhead, for him looking toward material possessions and women for sense gratification, not even enjoying them, but just looking toward them with such a propensity, is so condemned that he had better commit suicide before experiencing such illicit desires. So these are the processes for purification. So my question is, even if such a person commits suicide, still what is the use? Because the propensities are still there in the soul, and they will continue in the next birth. So what? How is that a purification?
Well, first of all, it's in quotation marks. You have to understand everything in context. This is a quotation given when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically chastised one of his sannyasis, who was Jyota Haridas. And this specific incident was after Jyota Haridas had committed suicide, then he had actually attained the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a special arrangement in the Leela. To set an example for others, especially, you'll find a more commentary in that section, how Prabhupada says, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he encouraged everyone, householders, everyone, he didn't care about those who were associating with women. But if there were sannyasis, then specifically he didn't want any hypocrisy that they were doing that. And actually, one sannyasi in ISKCON did commit suicide and went into the confluence of the Ganges, and afterwards Prabhupada wasn't so happy with it. So in the case of how someone becomes, you know, purified, it would be a very specific case, as in the case of Chota Haridas. We're not recommended for that. Prabhupada didn't recommend that, although it says here to make emphasis on this point that you have to control the senses and not be a hypocrite. Because when people take the spiritual life, they may then think it's a cheap thing, or they can do anything and set a bad, especially those who are leaders, to set a bad example for others. If one commits suicide and gets some purification for that, then, you know, as it's saying here, then that person could start in a better situation. We have in the Srimad Bhagavatam instance of Lord Brahma, who, for example to others, chased after his daughter, Vak. And when he did so, then he gave up that body. A particular body he gave up, that body became fog. And after that, he continued on in a purified state. So in some of the commentaries explaining that particular thing, that particular pastime, you know, one has to give up that mentality that caused one to do that. That, you know, even the body, the mentality, one has to discard that and move on. So it's not necessarily true that just by committing suicide one will make advancement. That was also proved in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with Sanatan Goswami. A very different kind of incident, but it also involves the idea of giving up one's life to make advancement in devotional service, because Sanatan Goswami had contracted some kind of skin disease when he was going through the Jharikhanda forest. He drank some water that was not good, and he got this disease. So he had oozing sores on his body. And as he had oozing sores on his body, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept embracing him, and the oozing sores would touch the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sanatan actually, just in contemplating that, and he was making offenses to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also to the pujaris and anybody else in Puri because of the state of his body. He considered that he would come to Puri, actually, and he would, at the Rath Yatra, jump under the wheel of the cart. And that would definitely do it. In Jagannath Puri, the cart is so large, and so he had that in his mind, and he had it all planned out that he would do that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood his intention. He didn't tell Sanatan Goswami, didn't tell anyone. He was staying with Haridas Thakur. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there to visit one day, because he used to come every day to see Haridas Thakur, he also spoke to Sanatan Goswami, who was there, and then he just said, "Do not consider giving up your life in order to make advancement in devotional service," because that was another aspect. He was thinking, this will be a glorious thing. Right in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under the Rath cart during Rath Yatra, this is good. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you cannot make advancement in this way. So he said, if this was the case, I would have given up many thousands of bodies already. You know, in other words, if this was an ideal way to make advancement in devotional service, then why not? Let's all do it. Do it now. You know, jump under the Roth card or something like that. On the other hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have much service to do through your body. He said, I've promised my mother that I will stay in Jagannath Puri, and through you in Vrindavan, I'm going to compile Vedic literatures and reestablish the holy places in Vrindavan. And I need to do all this through your body. I'm using you. You're my instrument. So he said, how are you considering destroying another's property? He said, you already gave your body to me. It's my property now. So now you're considering destroying it. So he said to Haridas Thakur, what is the character of a person who wants to destroy another's property? And Haridas Thakur said, my lord, we can't always understand the workings of your transcendental mind. And in that story, it's instructive about this idea of suicide. And even after Vishnu Jana apparently went into the confluence of the Ganges, he was one of my godbrothers who gave up his life. He was a sannyasi. And you know, afterwards, Prabhupada said, you know, he had so much more service he could have done. He avoided service. It wasn't an ideal situation. So now when you find a statement like this in the Shastra, it says, you know, one should, take suicide as a process if one lustfully looks or something like that. You can take it as an absolute statement and start thinking about suicide or something like that, or you can actually take the body of knowledge, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, to have a balanced understanding of what that exactly means. And of course, that's one of the reasons you ask the question, right? To have a balanced understanding of what it means. So the answer is yes, Bali Mardan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, yeah. Also, I think in one of the aspects, like when a thief or a person kills someone, is a murderer by the king's order, he is also hanged. But it is also, sometimes Prabhupada quoted that is the right process, because they don't really multiply their sins by not getting that capital punishment. So by giving them hanging or, you know, putting that their death sentence, then actually they are purified, even though the consciousness is there, but all the sins are purified by the king's order. So it is in another aspect of looking into how, at the time of what Prabhuji also was saying, that hey, whether he is having lusty desires, if he is committing suicide, that propensity remains. But by the process, actually, during that process of atonement, maybe those things are neutralized. So similarly, the thieves also, when they are getting capital punishment, next life actually the sin is neutralized. But nowadays, I think they are changing it due to weakness of, you know, heart in many government has not putting any capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly similar situation, but at least one different aspect of looking.
Yeah, it's a different aspect of looking, and especially and devotional service. The main principle is one must be repentant. What is the remedy for a fall down in devotional service? Any kind of fall down, subtle or gross, this is an important question. How one deals with that? Because the material world is a dangerous place. In the pastime of Lord Brahma, creating the universe, recreating, there are a series of prayers that he makes to the Lord to be empowered in order to do his work. And in there, in that section, Srila Prabhupada mentions how everyone on the spiritual path is surrounded by the material energy and therefore must be vigilant to not fall down. However, there are instances where someone may slip. So what is the remedy? Supada mulam bhajata priyasya taktanya bhavasa hari priyasaha vikarma yach chot patitam katanchit dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtaha. Karabhajana Muni says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one is engaged in devotional service and makes commits a vikarma, a sin, vikarma yach chot patitam katanchit, how? Somehow or other, in fact, if you care to, you can look at this verse because it's an important verse. It's in this Shloka book. And it will be on page number 274. The verse was spoken by Karabhajana Muni. And it says, Supada mulam, the lotus feet of Krishna, the shelter of the devotees. Bhajataha, who is engaged in worshipping. Priyasya, who is very dear to Krishna. Tyaktva, given up. Anya, for others. Bhavasya, of one whose disposition or inclination. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Para Isha, the Supreme Lord. Vikarma, sinful activities. Yet, whatever, cha, and, utpatitam, occurred, katanchit, somehow, dunoti, removes, sarvam, all hridi, in the heart. Sannivishtaha, entered. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of God, it is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. So, somehow or other, if one commits a vikarma, a sinful activity, then Krishna, from within the heart, understands the repentance of the devotee. Ajamil was repentant. He had started life as a dutiful Brahmin and had become corrupted. And after being corrupted, he engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. Although, because of his start in devotional service, he had the advantage of naming his son Narayan, and therefore he was saying the name of Narayan and getting this purification by repeating the name. And at the time of death, when he was apprehended by the Yamadutas, Hare Krishna, he then was saved because just at that time he had uttered the name Narayan. And the Vishnudutas came and they prohibited the Yamadutas from taking the soul of Ajamil for hellish punishment. The Yamadutas wanted to know why. What was their right to stop them from doing their duty, especially to Yamaraj? They were doing their duty for Yamaraj, who they considered to be the supreme, and they said, what is your right to stop us? And the Vishnudutas gave them all the Shastric explanation of exactly why they had the right, and that they were acting on behalf of their master, Narayan. Ajamil heard the whole conversation. And afterwards, when he was free to go, he tried to speak to the Vishnudutas, but they disappeared. After that, he went to Haridwar and he performed his devotional service and penances for further purification. And he was very repentant. And this repentance is a kind of a fire which burns up the reactions to the sinful reactions. Supada mulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasya hari prayeshaha. Tyaktanya bhavasya means that if one's bhava, if one's tendency is to give up everything for Lord Hari, but somehow or other one falls down, if one's in that repentant mood, then that person will become rectified by Krishna from within the heart. It'll actually save that person from the sinful reaction. Jagai and Madai were very sinful, the most sinful, and they were saved by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And after they had become Vaishnavas, they spent the rest of their life in a feeling of repentance, as ideal Vaishnavas, very humbly doing service for the other Vaishnavas and feeling repentant. And this is actually a kind of purificatory process. So this is the specific qualification of a devotee to advance in devotional service. If I think, on the other hand, that because I'm performing devotional service and the name of Krishna is so powerful that just by chanting it I become free from all sinful reaction, and therefore I'm not repentant, and I feel that this is a kind of machine, that if I sin, if I make a transgression, then it doesn't matter because I'm chanting, it's covered. It doesn't matter. This is an offense to the holy name, to think that I can commit sinful activities at the same time sin and I'll be purified of that. This prevents me from actually making advancement in devotional service because of the mentality itself. So we can see how important the intention is, actually, to advance in to have this feeling of repentance from within one's heart for any kind of transgression. And that can also include, even if you're well-situated now, one should consider, what have I done in the past? Oh, my Lord, as powerful as fire, omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. Please lead me on the right path to reach you, and since you know all I've done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so there'll be no hindrance to my progress. This is a prayer from the 18th mantra of the Shri Upanishad, in which the devotee is considering how I've done vikarma in the past, and therefore is not simply thinking I'm very qualified and therefore I don't need to pray for repentance. The advancement means that humility will also accompany that person who's advancing in proportionate quantities. According to one's advancement in devotional service, humility will also increase, and a person becomes humble, seeing how and feeling unqualified. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In his discussion with Sanatana Goswami, he explains what are the qualities of a person advancing in devotional service, and he tells what it means to be situated in bhava, or spiritual emotion, the awakening of actual spiritual emotion within the heart. And one of the qualities of that emotion, of advanced emotion, is that one feels that he's the most unqualified, even though he's qualified. Even such a person becomes very qualified, he or she is thinking, I lack qualification. Of course, this doesn't make a person dysfunctional or impotent, because also, paradoxically, there's a way in which the person goes on and does their service very competently. But there's a feeling like that. So my point is, in the process of purification, it's not just that the idea of suicide if one makes an error. That kind of is symbolic, and it indicates that one is wholly and fully repentant. One should feel like that, when one has a slipper, makes them, but should go on with one's devotional service as per Prabhupada's instruction.
In
remembering on 9th canto, Bhagavatam, it says, the discussion with King Nimi and Vasishtha, which is King Nimi was supposed to perform a sacrifice. Vasishtha said, no, I was already got appointment from King Indra, so I have to go. And he went, but by the time King Nimi understood that life is anyway flickering, anytime I can die, so let me continue my sacrifice. So when he was conducting, and after that, Vasishtha came and he was very angry that you are, you know, doing, I am your spiritual master and you are not obeying my order and you are continuing your sacrifice. So he caused him, may you die now. Then Nimi was also very hesitated that without any fault on me, you are cursing me. So I curse you, you also die now. So both die the same day. So, but the priest there, I think they put Nimi's body in a, you know, fragrance and oil to keep them. And they requested the demigods, all the demigods, that please give him, take birth again. But King Nimi said, no, I am now released from the material clutches. I don't want to come to the material body. I am fine. So it's very interesting. So my point was the same. It comes into my mind that, hey, how, you know, at the time of death also, the consciousness, even there, it really either changes or becomes really more, it become more elevated, just like King Nimi was more elevated. And Vasishtha has to take birth from, again, I think Mitra and Varuna, the another two demigods, saw Urvashi and they discharged him, and from there, Vasishtha reborn. So it's very interesting to see how, you know, the counter course and all goes, and at the time also the consciousness of one person becomes more matured. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is the plan of the Lord, so that we, just like Chota Haridas or many of the devotees, they got elevated.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, and it is specifically mentioned that Hare Krishna, Chota Haridas, did attain the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after that, enacting that. Yes.
I was just going to give one more example of Sati, who gave mm-hmm. She also gave up her body. And we were recently reading in the Bhagavatam, and there she said that if somebody blasphemes, the Lord or a devotee of the Lord, then you should kill him and then kill yourself. So we were discussing that in the chat, and that time also we had just, you know, commented that, well, in some cases suicide is looks like approved, but I'm just thinking we should also read that within quotes, as mm-hmm. you said in this case.
Correct. Otherwise there would be a lot of bloodshed. It's an option, and there are other options as well. One should go away is another option. If one hears blasphemy against a devotee, one should leave. Either rectify the situation through defeating the person, or one should leave. And if you're unable to do that, you know, the idea is that we're talking a lot about, but this is, we don't see this as a common program. Any other questions? Can be on any subject. We have a few minutes left. Yes, it's okay, Sri.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
This, I'm not too sure what was the topic today of discussion, but I have a question that we've been discussing in the morning time. It is about, we were just reading a few quotes from Prabhupada, like his discussions with his disciples, and we came across a point, I think Kishore Prabhu will soon send you the email. We were discussing about the importance of second initiation, and what we were talking about is... there were two, he was talking about two things. We were thinking that if, suppose, to go back to Godhead, the question is, to go back to Godhead, is second initiation important? And the second thing is, is it that there are people in different varnashramas, and they can remain in their varnashrama and go back to Godhead, or should all of them become Brahmins and go back?
Okay, well, let me take the first one first, okay? The first question, if I understood you correctly, is it important, is that the word, important? to have second initiation?
Actually, the question was, it is necessary. Is it necessary? Not important. Is it necessary for a person to have... Actually, even in the court, is initiation necessary for a person to go back to Godhead?
You need a little more light back there? You want to have a light above you? Everyone needs light. Take that light too. That one right there. That's the implication of material life. Anything you touch could start moving. Okay, is it necessary to have initiation in order to go back to Godhead? Is that the question? Yes. Is necessary to have this initiation because this is the official way that one connects to Krishna. This is the Prabhupada mentions this in many places in his books. Nectar of Devotion is one place that this official connection through initiation is actually what connects one to Krishna. And also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the first chapter called The Spiritual Masters, plural, Prabhupada mentions about the necessity of initiation. If you'll bring me Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 1, I'll read you the section. And... of course, there's first initiation, second initiation. These initiations are there that we consider in our line. We're concerned basically what's our process, you know, how we take initiation in ISKCON. Thank you. And in our case, we're following the Goswamis, the process that is passed down to us from the Goswami Marg. And the Goswami Marg, the process is that one is taking the Pantratrik initiation, which is what we call second initiation, and that that particular initiation is something that Jiva Goswami has said is necessary in Kali Yuga especially. Because although chanting the holy name of Krishna is powerful, it's all powerful, and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, which doesn't wait for initiation, one can become elevated to the highest position if one chants offenselessly. But our acharyas, like Jiva Goswami says, that in Kali Yuga that's not possible because the age is so contaminated. Therefore, Pantratrik initiation is also necessary in order to keep the devotee in a purified state in order to chant the holy name of the Lord purely, without offense. And in the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this first chapter is called The Spiritual Masters. And here it's described about the different kinds of spiritual masters. And this is verse 35 from Adi Lila. Mantra guru ar jata shiksha guru gan Tahar Charana Age Kariya Vandan. Mantra Guru, the initiating spiritual master. Ara, and also Jata, as many as there are. Shiksha Guru Gan, all the instructing spiritual masters. Tahar, of all of them, Charana, unto the lotus feet. Age, at first. Kariye, I offer. Vandan, respectful obeisances. I first offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my instructing spiritual masters. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his thesis, Bhakti Sandarbha 202, has stated that uncontaminated devotional service is the objective of pure Vaishnavas, and that one has to execute such service in the association of other devotees. By associating with devotees of Lord Krishna, one develops a sense of Krishna consciousness and thus becomes inclined toward the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord by gradual appreciation in devotional service. If one desires unalloyed devotional service, one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna, for by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve a taste for transcendental love and thus revive his eternal relationship with Godhead in a specific manifestation and in terms of the specific transcendental mellow, rasa, that one has eternally inherent in him. If one develops love for Krishna by Krishna-conscious activities, one can know the Supreme Absolute Truth. But he who tries to understand God simply by logical arguments will not succeed, nor will he get a taste for unalloyed devotion. The secret is that one must submissively listen to those who know perfectly the science of God, and one must begin the mode of service regulated by the preceptor. A devotee already attracted by the name, form, qualities, etc. of the Supreme Lord may be directed to his specific manner of devotional service. He need not waste time in approaching the Lord through logic. The expert spiritual master knows well how to engage his disciple's energy in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and thus he engages a devotee in a specific devotional service according to his special tendency. Still with me? A devotee must have only one initiating spiritual master because, in the scriptures, acceptance of more than one is always forbidden. There is no limit, however, to the number of instructing spiritual masters one may accept. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. One should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and to be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. One who is not properly initiated may present himself as a great devotee, but in fact he is sure to encounter many stumbling blocks on his path of progress towards spiritual realization, with the result that he must continue his term of material existence without relief. Such a helpless person is compared to a ship without a rudder, for such a ship can never reach its destination. It is imperative, therefore, that one accept a spiritual master if he at all desires to gain the favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. If one thinks that he is above consulting anyone else, including a spiritual master, he is at once an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such an offender can never go back to Godhead. It is imperative that a serious person accept a bona fide spiritual master in terms of the Shastric injunctions. Sri Jiva Goswami advises that one not accept a spiritual master in terms of hereditary or customary social or ecclesiastical conventions. One should simply try to find a genuinely qualified spiritual master for actual advancement in spiritual understanding. Text 35, Adi Leela, chapter 1, text number 35. So, this is a system that Krishna has set up. In other words, that one gets the mercy of Krishna, you know, through this system. And there's a proper way of doing that, the connection. Now, your other question was about varnas and ashrams?
Yes, Prabhuji. So we were thinking that, we were reading in a conversation where Prabhupada says that actually a Vaishnava is above all the four varnashramas. But then I was just thinking in general, like a person like me, so I was thinking, even though I'm trying to follow all the things, but still it I cannot call myself a Vaishnava. I'm still affected by the modes of material nature. So in that case, I was thinking that we had this question that we were just discussing. We were thinking that, is it that some people who are Kshatriyas remain Kshatriyas and then they go back to Godhead? Or is it that everybody become first-class Brahmins and then they go back to Godhead?
Trying to understand the purpose of your question... The essence of the question is, because you said, okay, you felt that you're performing devotional service, but you feel that you're not very qualified, you're not actually a Vaishnav yet, and therefore what is your situation? Let me just address that part of it. Shastra says tavat karma nakur. Could somebody address the concerns of the young man or woman back there? Tavat karma nakuravita nan nirvidyeta yavata but kata shravanadova shrada yavana jayate. This means that tavat, until that time, karma nakuravita nan nirvidyeta yavata, until the time that one's material desires have become completely satiated and one has developed a positive taste for hearing about Krishna, one should continue in one's duties in the varnashram. However, one's progress in devotional life is, considering who's a Kshatriya, who's a Vaishya, the second part of your question, it's a little theoretical because we're talking about you. And, you're not in a Varnashrama system. You're not a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Consideration right now. We don't have such a setup. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's specific response when speaking to Ramananda Roy about the importance of Varnashram was that it's external. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to describe what is the best process to advance in spiritual life. And Ramananda Roy began giving suggestions. One of them, to begin with, was that one should follow the Varnashram. And he quoted a verse from the Vishnu Purana, which says that just by following one's Varna or Ashram, one will please the Supreme Personality of God and attain perfection. Fine, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, external, but tell me something else. So Ramananda Roy said then, we should give up the Varnashram, which means to take sannyas, which means to, give up the varnas and ashrams and take sannyas. Give me something else. And then he talked about different modes of devotional service, coming to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, trying to, or taking, mixed devotional service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moved him along until he came to the verse. This was given by Ramananda Roy from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnane prayasamuda pasyanamanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shuti gatam tanuvanmanobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasi taistrilokyam. And this verse says that Lord Brahma is speaking, that one should give up the speculative process for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, remain in one's whatever situation you're in now, whatever your varna and ashram is in, but add the process of doing devotional service, hearing and chanting about Krishna with one's body, mind, and words. And then He said, by that, sthanisthita, staying in your situation, shruti gatam, but also becoming a submissive hearer. And Prabhupada has mentioned that in this text 35 I just gave as evidence that one has to submissively hear. The shruti gatam tanavan manobir ye prayaso jita jito. Who is normally unconquerable. Who is that? Ajita. That's Krishna. But he becomes jita. He becomes conquered by the devotee through this process of submissive hearing and devotional service. So I think that the very theoretical question of like, what if I'm a Kshatriya, what if I'm a Vaishya, what if I'm a Shudra, you need to actually expediently understand that you're properly situated, that you're in devotional service. Whatever your past activities are that have carried you through to this life, and now you have some material duty to do. You have a body of a woman, now you're a mother, you're doing certain teaching and all these kinds of things. This is your result. All these things have brought you forward to this point. But now you've contacted the direct process of devotional service. And your duty in this life, that's what you want to know, right? Is to stay balanced. You don't need to make any sudden moves. No need to, take sannyas or to, move off to the forest. Stani stita, stay in your position. And shruti gatam, and become an avid hearer of this transcendental sound vibration, which will elevate you. And we began the class by talking about that process, that by hearing, one actually becomes purified, the consciousness becomes purified. So you're properly situated. You're initiated into these sampradaya, and you're following the process avidly. So go on.
Thank you, Prabhu.
No difficulty. Okay? Hare Krishna. So now we're going to have an artik ceremony. Anybody want to have a last word or comment? Take a pot shot at me for any reason? Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, take a pot shot.
It's a high-tech mic. So, I was talking with one devotee last night.
Yeah.
It's like change of color for the dress. That devotee has been pretty stable. And he has, in the past, last 2 years or so, he's a little disturbed. And he was just talking with me, and he was looking as change of dress as a solution from saffron to grahastha.
Mm-hmm.
And Guru Maharaj exclusively has told him twice not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has that desire so in him. So I was thinking about his situation. As to, though the support system for brahmacharis is very less right now, mm-hmm. both in India as well as in US, how can we actually pray for them so that they actually, move? Otherwise, it's a avagya to Guru Maharaj, Like, if Guru Maharaj is looking for the betterment of a devotee, and so I was kind of very... is there any kind of help which we can do to that such kind of devotees?
Yes, we should give our love and support to all the devotees in every way that we can, so that they can advance in devotional service. The association of devotees means to have a support system for everyone. I gave the story the other night, even after Kala Krishnadas, who was in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had left his service and run after the Bhattaharis, who were some gypsy women. Mahaprabhu brought him back, and then when they got back to Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu said, you know, I'm releasing him from his service. I have no more use for this person. And he cried and went away, did Kali Krishnadas. Afterwards, Nityananda Prabhu and a few other devotees conspired to bring him back into service, came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, we need somebody to go to Navadvip to tell Mother Sachi and all the other devotees that you're back from South India. You know, can we pick someone and send them? And Mahaprabhu said, do as you like. And so they chose the Skala Krishnadas to keep him engaged in service. And this is the prerogative of devotees to conspire together to see how they can, you know, assist one another and see that devotees are engaged in devotional service. The prayers and good wishes of devotees never go in vain. And our arrangements for them are very important, you know, encouragement to the devotees and helping them in their lifestyle is very important because, you know, we move together as a spiritual family. So, you know, I can't comment on a particular instruction from, you know, somebody's a guru at a particular time and for a particular reason. I don't know, you know, all the sides of the story, and sometimes there's more to it, you know, and why somebody's giving a particular instruction to a particular person, and sometimes it's, you know, it's a transcendental mystery to people. So there was one devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately after coming in contact with Mahaprabhu and expressing his intention to be fully engaged in devotional service, was sent to Varanasi. Mahaprabhu said, go to Varanasi. There were no devotees there, so he was all alone with a bunch of Mayavadis. And the author was saying, who could understand the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sending this, basically a new bhakta, off into a place where there was a bunch of Mayavadis and no association. Later on, of course, it became clear that Mahaprabhu himself went there to convert Prakashananda Saraswati to devotional service, and that devotee then, you know, had very intimate association. So my point is that sometimes, you know, instruction may be like this or like that. We can't understand, but your goodwill, your and wishes and support in whatever way that you can give is always appreciated and useful. Did that help at all?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to have an artik ceremony, and we'll put all the books away and all the asanas, and then we'll have chanting. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for coming.